Coming up this week on sports and stuff, plenty of news and sports to get to this week. And as far as the NFL and MLB playoffs are concerned, I'll talk all about this week in the NFL and some of the series so far in baseball as far as the playoffs go. Also, a couple pieces of entertainment and television to get to this week. A couple of major celebrities pass away. I'll talk all about that. More and all that's and plenty of other stuff coming up on this edition of Sports and Stuff right here on EPRN, SoundCloud, and the Sports and Stuff app. Stay tuned. Plenty of sports and entertainment talk coming up right after this.
Too much buzz in the air. Listen in to What's the Buzz on EPRN. Sit back and reflect with tunes from the good old days on Reflections, hosted by Cedric Clark on EPRN. Be sure to rock on with Everyone's Rock. Exquisite Podcast Radio Network has a variety of podcast radio programs for listeners all across the globe. Take the journey, the hip-hop and R&B journey with Greg H., or awaken and take notice to the events in your communities with Purposely Awakened, hosted by Naomi Bondman. Hang out with the gents and listen to the Elite Gents podcast. And for better results, listen in to Revealing Better Results. For sports, check out Folksy's Corner, Sports and Stuff, hosted by John Meisner. And PSA, Prodigy Sportative Attestations. Tell a friend and listen in via EPRN's web app at app.eprn.us and listen in online at www.eprn.us.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Glad to have you with us this week as we begin the month of October here on Sports and Stuff. I'm your host, John Meisner. Love this time of year. Fall, the weather's getting cooler. Playoff baseball's heating up. Football's in full swing. Hockey just started. You know, basketball's just about to start in a couple weeks as well. Love this time of year. We got all sorts of fall stuff with the pumpkins and the, you know, apple cider and pumpkin flavored everything. So it's a nice time of year. You know, best time of year to visit New England, I think. It's October in the fall. So anyway, we've got plenty of stuff to get to here this week on the program. Starting with, I guess really I'll start with the most important thing I wanted to talk about this week is the baseball playoffs. The first round series are already underway. The Tampa Bay Rays beat the Oakland Athletics in the American League wildcard game. The Nationals beat the Milwaukee Brewers in the National League wildcard game. And I think between those two, the National League one was definitely more exciting. The Nationals rallied from a two-run deficit late on a bases-clearing double by the Nationals. The right fielder for the Brewers misplayed a ball very badly, and that allowed the what ended up being the winning run to score late in that game in the eighth inning. And the Nationals moved on. Tampa had no problem with the Oakland. They handled their pitching staff pretty well, although Tampa's getting beat pretty badly by the Astros so far. They're already down 2-0. I definitely see the Astros winning that series. I'll give Tampa a small chance, but not very much of one. I see them winning maybe no more than one game, but they're just overmatched against the talented pitching staff of the Astros, you know, with Verlander and Gerrit Cole and Zach Greinke and those guys. They'll squeak out maybe one win, but that's probably the most they're going to get. I see them losing, and they're either going to get swept or losing four. So the Astros will beat that, and the Twins have no chance against the Yankees. That's the other ALDS matchup. The Twins have just not been good historically against the Yankees in the playoffs. They've lost several times going back many years. I see the Yankees sweeping the Twins. I do not see the Twins fighting back. I'd be very surprised if they do. Considering the Yankees have, you know, some injuries and have a questionable sort of pitching staff or rotation, being that Herman has been in a lot of trouble and Luis Severino has not been back on the team for very long because of his injury. You know, I don't know if the Yankees are built to necessarily go all the way and win a championship, but they can definitely get past the Twins in the first round. I think it will be Astros and Yankees in the, for the pennant. And it should be exciting. It'll be a rematch from 2 years ago. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Astros and Dodgers in the World Series, like 2 years ago, all over again. I think in the National League, just looking at my notes here, The Braves currently lead the Cardinals 2-1. They had a very exciting ninth inning rally Sunday night against the Cardinals, the Braves did. The Braves are a young team. They're exciting to watch. I like them. I'm not a big fan of them, but I like the team they got going. They got a good young core of players. They got Ronald Acuna Jr. I think Brian McCann's not young anymore, but Brian McCann's on that team. Just so many good young talent, so much talent, I should say, and a good pitching staff as well. I mean, they're already up 2-1 on the Cardinals. I think the Braves will win that series in either 4 or 5. I could see the Cardinals maybe forcing it to game 5, but I could also see the Braves winning it in their next game, game 4. I definitely see the Braves winning it. I'm going to say it's Braves and Dodgers for the pennant. The Dodgers and Nationals are, as I'm recording this, they're tied at 1 game each, but the way the Dodgers are going, they're up pretty convincingly over the Nationals. So I do think the Dodgers will win that game. As of now, the time this airs, they're probably up 2-1, but as I'm doing it, it's 1-1. So the Dodgers should win that game, and I think they will win the series, but I will give the Nationals credit for getting there. They have a good pitching staff. They got good pitching, really. Max Scherzer, Anibal Sanchez, Steven Strasburg. Yet, for some reason, they just never win in the playoffs every year, and I think history may be doomed to repeat itself again. unless the Nationals really rally and, you know, get to the Dodgers pitching staff, although I don't see how they're going to. I mean, I don't know how they're going to get past, you know, Clayton Kershaw and I can never say his name right. Hyung Kim. They just haven't been able to do much against them so far. And I mean, I don't see him getting to their bullpen. So we'll see. I mean, I definitely see the Dodgers winning this, though. I think they're the favorite. They're definitely the favorite to come out of the National League. I think the Braves can give them a run for their money if they end up facing the Braves for the pennant in the NLCS. But ultimately, I think it will be the Dodgers that prevail. I think they just got too much talent and too much. They're just over. Everybody else is just, you know, the underdog. They're overmatched against the Dodgers. The Dodgers are on a mission this year. They're hungry. You could tell. They really want it badly. They've been to the World Series the last 2 years in a row, and they've come up short. So they're eager to get back. And Dave Roberts has done a great job with the team. He has such a positive demeanor. I mean, Red Sox fans like me will love him forever after he stole the base and against the Yankees in 2004 to help us come back against them. So, you know, he's more than welcome to come back to Boston anytime he wants to. But still, I definitely see the Dodgers coming out of the National League. And I think the Astros will come out of the American League. I just don't think the Yankees have quite enough to come out of the American League and get past the Astros. I think the Astros are just a little more talented. Once they got Zach Greinke, I figured that was going to be the piece that sent them over the top to at least get to the World Series. So it should be Astros and Dodgers. I hope it is. I hope it's not Yankees-Dodgers, or I will not be rooting for either team. Maybe I might root for the Dodgers maybe a little more. I mean, I definitely won't root for the Yankees personally, but if the Yankees don't win this year, that'll be the first decade in their franchise history where they have not won a World Series, which is going to be repeated many times throughout the month of October, and it already has been. So we'll keep our eyes and ears peeled for that about the Yankees. But as far as a World Series matchup goes, I'm definitely going to say Astros, Dodgers at this point, if I had to pick. But as far as the pennant goes, the championship series coming up, I'm going to say it's going to be Dodgers and Braves in the National League and Astros-Yankees in the American League. That's my pick. So that's the latest for baseball. Again, not much to talk about just because there's only the playoffs, so there's only a few series to follow. But like I said, the Braves have a good, exciting team. I'm getting kind of tired of seeing the Cardinals win every year. So it's nice to see that the Braves are really pushing them. And made a great comeback in the ninth inning, too. With two outs and two men on, they really rallied. It was great. They got 3 runs and ultimately ended up winning that game. So good for Atlanta. I got to say, though, I'm not a fan in baseball in Atlanta of the Tomahawk Chop. It doesn't sound good. I just don't like the way it sounds. I would live in Atlanta, I'd probably want to ask for some other kind of anthem song to play. I don't know. It's just, it's not appropriate for baseball. It's better for like college sports, like college football or something like that. It's more of a collegiate anthem than it is a baseball song. So yeah, I don't know. I'm just not a fan of that personally. Every time I hear it, I'm just like, well, they play something else for once. Yeah, you know, just once I heard it, like I just, my ears just said no, not a fan of it. But maybe in Atlanta they like it, but I don't like it. Yeah. So anyway, that's all I got for baseball for now. So we'll take our first break here on sports and stuff. And coming up after this quick timeout, we'll talk some NFL this week. Week 5 in the NFL is coming up right after these messages here on EPRN, SoundCloud, and the app. Be right back. Proud sponsor of sports and stuff, Harold's Ice Cream has over 400 original flavors to select from. Best of all, Harold's is kosher certified, no moo or artificial ingredients. Harold's also makes ice cream cakes with real cake centers, and they also ship their frozen treats to customers. Harold's Ice Cream makes treats like frozen yogurt, sherbet, brownies, cookies, pies, and cakes. Harold's does it all to satisfy that sweet, healthy treat craving. They cater events for 70 people or more, and they ship their kosher treats by mail. Call Harold's Ice Cream today at 413-586-9700 and visit harolds.com. Welcome back. It's John Meiser here on Sports and Stuff with y'all. And I'm happy to say that I'm making good personal progress towards achieving my goals for this show for finding potential businesses to advertise with. There'll be more details in the maybe in upcoming weeks, but definitely making a lot of progress. I'm having a good business partner of mine help me try to find connections on LinkedIn, which is very helpful and good so far. And in upcoming weeks on this show, I'll mention that we might be having some guests join the Sports and Stuff platform. Won't give away too much information for now, but you'll see a little announcements on our community Facebook page if you're a member of it. So just keep your eyes out for that. Could be some guests coming up in the future. We'll try to work something out as best we can. So, and also one more thing I want to mention, speaking of guests, if you check out the app, I just added an extra interview with Alex Foltz, who we heard last week on the program. He talks all about video games in our extra interview, so if you want to listen to that, you're a video game fan, just subscribe to the app. If you're a video game fan, check it out. You can also listen to Foltz's Corner on EPRN, so check that out sometime. It's good having him on the program. So anyway, let's get into some football talk here, shall we? Week 5 in the NFL went a little something like this. To start with, on the Thursday night game, the Seahawks just barely got by the Los Angeles Rams by 1 point. Two excellent teams. Seahawks prevailed 30-29 over the Rams on Thursday night. I'll talk about the Patriots game in a minute, a little more in detail. They beat the Redskins 33-7. The Broncos beat the Los Angeles Chargers 20-13, although it doesn't really help the Broncos that much because they're just not expected to be very good this year. The Bills get past the Tennessee Titans 14-7. Boy, Buffalo's defense is legit this year. Patriots had a tough time against them last week, but they win. They're 4-1, I believe, so far this year. They win 14-7. The Eagles trounce the Jets. Boy, the Jets are terrible. They just have a bad team. But the Philadelphia Eagles win 31-6. My friend Megan Moynihan will be happy about that. She is a big, big time Eagles fan. So this one's for you, Megan. Your Eagles won. The Panthers beat the Jaguars 34-27. I just realized I don't know what happened to my pen. Oh, there it is. Forgot to write down a number here. So there we go. The Panthers beat the Jaguars 34-27. The Vikings beat the Giants 28-10. There was a little bit of hype going on with the new quarterback, but I don't think he's as good as people say he is. The Patriots face the Giants on Thursday Night Football coming up this week. More on that matchup in a minute or two, but I'll finish going through these scores here. The Houston Texans, what a wild slugfest against the Atlanta Falcons, 53-32. Oh my goodness. Biggest amount of points the team has scored this year so far is the Texans with 53 points. Deshaun Watson had a big game. Yeah, Texans are looking all right. The Saints beat the Buccaneers 31-24. Arizona Cardinals over the Cincinnati Bengals 26-23. And that's the same score the Ravens beat the Steelers by, 26-23 in overtime. The Ravens get past their divisional foe. Oakland over Chicago. Raiders beat the Bears 24-21. The Packers beat the Cowboys 34-24, although it was actually at one point 31-3. I was watching some of that game. Cowboys actually made a run late, but it was too late. Packers beat them by 10 points. And the Chiefs and the Colts game are currently in progress. They're in the second half as I'm recording this, so I don't have a final score for that one, but I think chances are the Chiefs will probably win that game and improve to 5-0. The Patriots are 5-0, though. They beat the Redskins, like I said, 33-7. This is an interesting game. To start this in the first half, it actually was pretty close. The Redskins didn't have much going offensively. They had a 65-yard rush by their running back, and that was pretty much it as far as offense is concerned. The Patriots just dominated on defense yet again. Boy, they got the best defense in the league, this team. It just looks unbelievable. Devin McCourty and Stephon Gilmore and Jamie Collins, they look incredible in the secondary. Really do. Dante Hightower looks great as well. He's got some sacks. The only thing New England doesn't have is a tight end, but I don't know if they're going to need one, at least in the immediate future, but they'll definitely need one to step up by the time the playoffs roll around, so that they're going to need one by then, I think, especially if they go up against Kansas City, which I think in all likelihood they probably will. So they're going to need a tight end against them, but so far the defense has really been amazing for the Patriots. I mean, can you believe this? In the first five games, the Patriots have not allowed a pass touchdown from the offense. They have not had a quarterback throw a ball to a receiver in the end zone for a pass touchdown the first 5 weeks. That's amazing. Unbelievable. They've given up a couple touchdowns on like other ways, like, you know, turnovers or special teams or whatever, or in this case I mentioned a rushing touchdown. But they haven't given up one in the air through a quarterback yet for the first 5 weeks. That's pretty remarkable. Bill Belichick's really asserted himself as a defensive play caller, and boy, it's really paid off. He's a genius, mastermind when it comes to defense. So he's definitely got this team in the right direction. But as far as this game goes, the Patriots kind of struggled a little bit early in the first quarter. They had to replace their kicker, Steven Gostkowski, who, for those that didn't know, was put on injured reserve the rest of the year. He had a hip problem, which explained why he was missing extra points. It's been probably the only weakness, I would say, as far as the team goes this year, as far as their kicking game, is it's really the extra points and lack of a tight end have been about it. They've been just about setting up just about almost every other aspect, really. But still, as far as this game goes, that was an issue early. Their new, I forget his name off the top of my head. I should have wrote it down. But he's a veteran kicker. Replaced Steven Gostkowski. Missed an extra point early, but he made up for it later. He made some extra points later and a field goal. So I guess that kind of made up for it. But when he missed an extra point early, I was like, here we go again. But it ultimately didn't end up costing the Patriots. They made a lot of second-half adjustments. The Redskins, I will give them credit. They put some pressure on Brady early in that game and kept it close. But the Patriots came out in the second half, and boy, they looked like the team everybody expected them to be. They just looked unstoppable after halftime. Three more touchdowns. It was 12-7 going into the halftime break, and then they added three more touchdowns later in that game. It was all New England after that. They roll over Redskins 33-7. Early in that game, I was thinking, but maybe the Redskins maybe may not be as bad as I thought they were. And then by the end of the game, I was like, yes, they are. They actually are as bad as we thought they are. They got trounced by New England pretty badly. Yeah, Colt McCoy made his first start of the season for the Redskins. He had been out for about a year with a broken leg, so he hadn't had a lot of action since then, so that explained why he was a bit slow and a bit rusty. The Patriots were able to get at least one or two interceptions, I believe, in that game. So the defense is really stepping up great for the Patriots. They have, I think, they lead the league in forced turnovers and takeaways, whether it's, you know, interceptions or fumbles. A lot of interceptions. They're already up to double digits in interceptions. I mean, you know, Devin McCourty has been, oh my God, him and Stephon Gilmore, they are, I mean, no wonder teams don't take their shot down the field, because they know those guys are back. They're probably ready to deflect the pass or pick it off or cover the receivers. They're just incredible. So, man, I don't know if the Patriots are going to lose a game this year. I mean, unless they face a, I mean, they got some good teams they're going to play later in the year, but that won't be for till like November, December. But for now, they got all the weak teams. They got the Giants this Thursday night on Thursday Night Football. I expect the Patriots to win that game, and I don't really see the Giants being all that competitive. It's nice to look back on the, you know, on past history and, you know, look at, you know, the two Super Bowls that the Patriots were in against the Giants. The Giants won both times, so it was great for the Giants, not so good for New England. But they have had some history against the Patriots before in the Super Bowl. Yeah, I remember when the Patriots faced the Giants back in 2007, I remember they had to get past them to go undefeated in the regular season. And everyone was making such a big deal out of that last game because it was on all the major networks. It was like, you know, it's like everybody wanted to see the Patriots go undefeated. It's like everybody had no choice. That was all they were going to put on the networks that night because it had never been done before. You know, a team going 16-0. So they won that game at least, but they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl twice, unfortunately. The first time was even more painful. Could have gone 19-0, but oh well. Yeah, fans around here probably don't want an undefeated team. I mean, I would love it to see it happen, but if it doesn't, it's not the end of the world. I mean, we're not looking for perfection. We're just looking to win a Super Bowl. You know, perfection would be too much to ask for. But I could definitely see the Patriots getting 13 or 14 wins for sure. And I mentioned this before on the program. I think the Bills and the Browns have the best chance of getting wild cards. I mean, it's early. It's only 5 weeks in. But so far, it looks like a two-team race in the AFC. It's definitely going to be Patriots and Chiefs. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is just an unbelievable quarterback. He makes throws that, I mean, I don't think I see anybody else make. He almost looks like a baseball pitcher throwing it instead of a quarterback. He's just that good. He can really throw, makes all sorts of crazy throws, and just an unbelievable athlete. Definitely the face of the NFL in the future, that's for sure. I was mentioning it to Alex Fultz last week. He's a Chiefs fan, as we all heard. So I definitely see it being a two-team race. I don't see anybody else really beating either the Patriots or the Chiefs moving forward. Those are my thoughts. I mean, everybody else, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, you know, maybe the Ravens will win that division, the AFC North. I'll say that either the Texans or Colts get the AFC South, and but again, too early to tell. Still, you know, a lot to be determined. But so far, I think the good teams are standing out more. Like, you know, I mean, the NFC's got all the better teams. They got the, you know, the Packers and the Eagles and the Cowboys. You know, they're all going to end up making the playoffs for sure. The Colts, meanwhile, I don't know about the Colts. Jacoby Brissett's done a good job with them so far, but I don't know. They're gonna be borderline. I don't know. They may or may not get in this year. We'll see. Yeah, Seahawks and the Rams as well. Saints. It's just all the great teams in the NFC. It's just so much more talent there. So that's a little bit of Week 5 in the NFL for you. Again, it's we're only about a quarter of the way through the season, so there's still, you know, a lot more football to be played. I will say this, though, you know, it's been hard for the league to determine really what is reviewable as far as pass interference goes and what is really not, you know, pass interference. It's hard to review judgment because it's such a gray area. Nobody knows, like, definitively what or how much contact pass interference is or what secondaries can get away with. I mean, players don't know. They don't know how physical to be with a receiver. It's going to take a while for people to really get the feel for it as far as what they will throw the flag for and what they will not throw the flag for. I mean, I guess only if it's like an egregiously missed call or a badly called pass interference when they didn't have to, then they could probably challenge it. But So far, it's tough to say. You know, it's tough to say what the league thinks or what their judgment is on it, because you just don't know in that situation. It's really tough to get a read on. It's just there's so much gray area as far as the, you know, that kind of thing is concerned. I was for it when they came out with the rule, but you know, after the first few weeks, it's tough to, you know, like I said, it's hard to read judgment like that. It's hard to determine what is and is not pass interference. I mean, if I were the officials, I wouldn't want to be in that situation. It's just such a tough job being a referee in any sport. But it's something that had to be done just because of the badly missed call in the NFC title game last year. So something had to be done about it. So I'm glad they did. Anyway. Like I said, Patriots-Giants next week, 8:20 on Thursday Night Football. Not a fan of Joe Buck. I don't mind Troy Aikman, but I'm not a Joe Buck fan. His voice is just, he's so bland. I can't stand it. The pass is caught by the receiver, and it's a touchdown. Like, you know, come on, at least put a little more enthusiasm into it, Joe. Come on. Gotta have a little more fun with it. Yeah. Or maybe he is funny in person, just not on the air. I don't know. So there'll be Fox carrying that next week, or this week, I should say. So with that, we will take another break here on sports and stuff. And coming up, I'm going to talk about a little later on in the show, a game show that celebrates a big anniversary that debuted many years ago on this day I'm recording it, on Sunday. We'll be right back. Village Pizza is the family-owned East Hampton, Massachusetts establishment that has been serving the local community for over 40 years. Well known for their delicious Greek-style pizza pies and the best local spot to go hang out and watch a Celtics, Bruins, Red Sox, or Patriots game. Village Pizza, 100 Union Street, East Hampton. Welcome back to Sports and Stuff on EPRN, the SoundCloud, and the app. Hope everybody's enjoying the show so far and enjoying the start of fall. I know I am. So now let's get into some little bit of news here. A couple celebrities passed away this week, which is very sad. Diane Carroll, who is, I'm sure, some people that were old enough to remember her as the actress that played Julia in the late 60s and early 70s on NBC, died this past week at age 84. She was 84 years old. She holds the distinction of being the first Black actress to play a female lead on a sitcom. She was the first one to ever do it back in the late 60s. And what a time it was, really, you know, for her to do that when, you know, when change was going on. There was a lot of racial segregation, you know, progressive actions were being taken place. You had Martin Luther King Jr., you had the Vietnam War. It was a time of social change and racial indifference. I think she really made a statement, you know, by NBC really took a chance at that time, because, like I said, no one else who was a African American had their own sitcom as a lead, male or female, I believe, or female, I should say, but they did, and it really made such a big impact on television and entertainment. I didn't grow up in the late 60s and early 70s, but I've just only read and heard, you know, some things about the show. You know, fans, people really criticized it at the time because they thought it looked too, you know, perfect or, like, not realistic. But it really actually was, like, a good, accurate portrayal of Diane Carroll's life as a Julia character. But then, I mean, it was not something she actually was trying to do, Diane Carroll was, I've read. But it's what ended up happening. She made a lot of difference, really served as a role model for women. Then, you know, and then the Mary Tyler Moore Show kind of followed that later on, I would say, in the, you know, into the 70s. I mean, considering that, you know, people think that every kind of job is a male-dominated industry, I mean, females can work too. They definitely have a voice, and are definitely capable of doing things, I think. I mean, they're very strong and have voices of their own. They're very powerful. So that's what I think. But still, she made such a big difference in the, you know, in society and in entertainment and pop culture. Diane Carroll did some Broadway before landing the role of Julia. Very sad loss, though. Died at 84, like I said. But But still, you know, I mean, to think, you know, I mean, other actresses would not have probably had a chance to be the head of the lead character on their own show had it not been for Diane Carroll. I mean, one that comes to mind off the top of my head is like the Jeffersons, for instance. Like, you know, Sherman Hemsley and Isabel Sanford. You know, they may not have gotten the chance to have a show like that. You know, the Cosby Show. You know, whatever other ones. Like another example that comes to mind is like Harriet Winslow, for you know, who was on Perfect Strangers and then got her own show on Family Matters. The Different World. You know. 227, that Jackie Harry on it, you know, sister later on. You know, I mentioned those names because, like I said, they would not have gotten the chance had Diane Carroll really not been the first one. I mean, if she didn't get her own show, I mean, who knows if any of those people would have followed suit. Now, it's tough to say. But yeah, she really set the bar high, definitely for women that were of a different color, you know, to be ahead of her own TV show. Or I should say a lead character on a TV show. It's one of those things we'll never know for sure, but I mean, it's tough to say one way or the other if those people would have had chances or not. Maybe they would have, but we don't know. We can only speculate. Yeah, I think if I grew up around that time, I probably would have, I might have checked it out a little bit, the show Julia. Definitely seemed like it was ahead of its time. It was a nice positive show that it was being presented. And made a positive statement, that's for sure. So yeah, it's nice to, I mean, even though it's sad that Diane Carroll passed away, at least she could say she left this world having done, you know, a lot in entertainment and show business. So yeah, she did a lot of roles later on as musicals and little bit parts here and there in TV and movies, but nothing really too big and famous after Julia. And another bit of news to pass along to everybody. This just came out over the weekend. This got my attention, just being that people who know me, I'm a big fan of old game shows. Rip Taylor passed away. He was also 84 years old as well. Rip Taylor, as a lot of people remember, was on the Gong Show back in the day. Him and his gaudy looking mustache and wig. He was known for throwing confetti in the air on a lot of his shows he appeared on, just to be silly. he hosted a couple of other shows as well. A $1.98 beauty show, was a panelist on Match Game and Hollywood Squares several times, on Password and Super Password. Number of shows he was on as a panelist, but he had such a silly personality. He was so like flamboyant and over the top and goofy, and his mustache looks so silly with it, and throw all the confetti he would throw in his wig. He was ridiculous, but he was entertaining. People liked him. I was reading an article earlier about like what inspired him to start throwing his confetti in the air, and the reason that he did that was because years ago, when he was starting off as a comedian in Las Vegas, he appeared on the Merv Griffin Show. A lot of other people did who were aspiring to be famous, or who already were famous. And he was getting so fed up with his jokes, and that nobody was, either people were laughing or they weren't laughing. I forget exactly what it said, but he was getting so fed up with his own material, he ripped up the cards he had his jokes on and just threw them in the air. And he got so angry and disgusted with himself, but yet people loved him the way he did that. He got such a positive response that he just kept doing it, and it turned into him throwing confetti, and the rest is history. So it started off really as just him not liking his own work, I think. And then eventually, you know, just kind of becoming a little gag. But he was he definitely was entertaining. I love his voice, the way he was so happy and flamboyant. I love throwing my confetti. It's so wonderful. You know, stuff like those silly stuff like that. Yeah, to think he hosted a show where you could win literally no more than just about $2, $1.98, and a tacky little tiara. So gaudy and ridiculous. So tacky. But he was entertaining, and people loved him, like I said. You know, I'll never forget this. If anybody hasn't seen this, look this up on YouTube. In the 80s, when he was on Super Password, there was a very memorable incident where Patty Duke Aston was his celebrity partner, I guess, or he was playing with her. And the word was testimony. And Patty Duke actually says the word testimony. She blurts out the word, gives it away. Rip Taylor had already been just kind of being silly in that episode anyway, just because of the way he was acting with the clues and the words. He takes a stool that was sitting on the set and just throws it around and gets all crazy. And then when Patty Duke blurts out the word, he rips his wig off just for the heck of it, just to add to the insanity. And then Rip Perk Tommy, this is kind of ridiculous. I don't know if I find this funny or not, but he takes his wig and he inappropriately bursts. He inappropriately blurts out, "Just what I always wanted, hair on my chest." kind of awkward, Bert, I think. but still, it was a great moment, though, nonetheless, and taking off the wig like that. Yeah, there were so many things that got out of hand on that show. with Bert Convy, but he was a great panelist and a great celebrity, and he was actually not born with the name Rip, as I'm sure a lot of people probably could figure out. His real first name was Charles, in case you didn't know. His name was Charles Taylor, but he passed away at age 84, as well as Diane Carroll did. So a couple celebrities leave us this week, very sadly, but boy, he definitely made his mark in game shows, that's for sure. Rip Taylor. And I bet he's throwing confetti for himself up in heaven. Confetti rains down upon him. So we're going to miss you, Rip. You're definitely great. That's for sure. Going to miss him. So coming up after this next break, I'll talk a little bit more game shows and entertainment here. A game show celebrates a big birthday. A couple of game shows actually celebrate major birthdays and milestones this past week. And we'll wrap up the show for this week and give you an idea of what to expect next week on the show. More sports and stuff after this. MVMT is the affordable brand for men's and women's watches. Go to MVMTwatches.com and browse through the bestseller collection, all of the watches, sunglasses, wristband straps, and watch-related accessories. It's not surprising that MVMT offers free shipping worldwide to their customers. Sign up for the newsletter at MVMTwatches.com, read the MVMT brand story, and get caught up on the brand. Premium design at a fair price. Welcome back to Sports and Stuff. We'll continue where we left off in that last segment as we talked some TV here. A couple of other game shows I want to mention here that had some pretty big milestones this past week. Jeopardy celebrated its 8,000th episode. Can you believe that? The show just keeps chugging along. Like, that's never going to go off the air, I feel. 8,000 episodes in syndication with Alex Trebek. Just amazing. I mean, most shows would be happy to get to 1,000, let alone, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000. But 8,000 is just unbelievable. I think he's hosted more episodes of that show than Bob Barker did for The Price is Right, I believe. So he's definitely eclipsed that. I mean, 35 years and counting. You know, it's sad that he's in the condition he's in with his health, with his pancreatic cancer, but I love his attitude. I mean, Trebek's trying to at least, you know, keep fighting as long as he can and continue to host Jeopardy as long as he can. I really respect and admire that about him. I love his positive attitude he has about it. He's really been an inspiration to those who have pancreatic cancer. So all he can do is just hope and pray he continues to fight the battle and do it as long as he can before he, you know, has to retire. But I hope he goes out on his own terms and not, you know, because of pancreatic cancer. So we're with you, Alex. Just keep fighting it as best you can. And if you retire, I wouldn't mind hosting Jeopardy if you don't. No, that's more of a pipe dream, but no, they'll probably give it to more of like an established broadcaster who's been on TV a long time. But anyway, yeah, 8,000 shows. Like, can you believe that? I mean, that not many shows in game show history or any TV show have lasted for 8,000 shows. The only shows I can think of that have been on for that long have probably been soap operas. I mean, they've probably done like 10,000 or 20,000 shows or something like that, because they do new shows 5 days a week year-round, I think. So, they've definitely done more than Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune have done, but it's still a great milestone, though. That's for sure. I mean, Jeopardy didn't do much to celebrate on the air. They just had a category that had to do with 8,000 something. And they probably had, like, cake and cookies and cupcakes afterwards and that kind of stuff. But still a great milestone for Jeopardy. And the other thing I wanted to mention that I was hinting about earlier was that 33 years ago this past week, on October 6, 1986, 33 years ago, Double Dare premiered on Nickelodeon. And it's a shame that show is coming to an end this year. I was mentioning it over the last couple months. What a shame that show is coming to an end at the end of this year. For those that didn't hear, it was canceled after two seasons for a revival. And I can't really figure out why it was canceled, because I don't think it was the ratings. My guess is it probably has to do with the fact that Nickelodeon wants to try new things. I know that they've been reviving a lot of other stuff. Like, they brought back All That. They brought back Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? They're going to show Are You Afraid of the Dark next week, which is, I'll give this a little plug here. It's coming up next Friday, October 11th, if you're interested. I'm going to check that out. So if you're into scary stuff, and with Halloween around the corner in a few weeks, the timing is very appropriate that they're going to bring this back. But that's another thing they're going to bring back, is Are You Afraid of the Dark? But so my guess is that Nickelodeon wants to bring back a lot of other shows. So maybe they thought that Double Dare wasn't going to have a place on the network moving forward. Maybe they just want to keep reviving things and get people to watch the network again. Because I know that's what Brian Robbins has in mind, but the president of Nickelodeon. He created All That, and Keenan and Kel, I think. So, he's definitely got his mind made up. He definitely wants to try reviving other things. So I guess maybe just Double Dare ran its course, and they just want to give other shows a chance to come back on the air. That's probably my reasoning, I guess. That's what I think is the reason why they're canceling it. But anyway, back to why I'm even talking about this. It's 33 years ago this past week. It's premiered on Nickelodeon, and boy, it really put Nickelodeon on the map. I mean, I don't know if it would have had success the way it did if it had not been for Double Dare. Because Jeffrey Darby, who created Double Dare, he also created You Can Do That on Television, which was the first show to implement slime. But it wasn't made too much of a big deal out of it. It was just, whenever a kid said, I don't know, to a joke or a question, and got slime, and that was, they'd laugh at it, but that was it. But Double Dare really made it a point to get messy. And shows hadn't really done that before, other than maybe Beat the Clock, going back to the 50s. But boy, that show was just so well produced. I love Mark Summers. He was so great at just being himself. He was professional, but he wasn't afraid to be funny with his jokes, that catered more towards adults. But he talked to kids like they were adults. He didn't talk to kids as if he was a kid. He wasn't like, hey guys, what's up? I'm Mark Summers, like other people may have done. He didn't do that. He was a lot more professional, and it worked. He just knew what he was doing from day one. I mean, he might have been a bit nervous at the start, but he was great. Has had such a great career, Mark Summers has. I saw him in person earlier this year. I didn't get to meet him, but I saw him host a Double Dare live show out in eastern Massachusetts near Boston. I'm going to see if I can make it out one more time before they cancel the tour, because the tour is coming into an end as well after the show is canceled around Christmas time. So I'll see if I can make it out one more time, but still, I've always loved Mark Summers on every show he's done. He's like to me what Bob Barker is to adults. He's like, like that. He's a legendary host and producer. But boy, I mean, every kid wanted to get on Double Dare back then. I mean, everybody wanted to be on that show. I mean, I've heard stories that people would create like little obstacle courses in their backyard. They play around with with props in their house, like the physical challenges, and just a great show. Just so simple, so fun. So much spontaneity would come out of that too, just with the, with Mark being funny. And I saw a clip earlier today. He said, like, once he was getting the hang of the rules early on, he said, I don't need these cue cards. I'm going to rip them up right now. And just rip them up right on camera. He didn't care. Yeah, they let him get away with so much back then that he probably wouldn't be able to get away with now. But it's just disappointing that show's coming to an end. I mean, I really thought Liza Koshy was doing a good job on that. I mean, she works well with kids. She's funny. She's got a good amount of energy. And she was awesome, and I really enjoyed her. Not to mention she's kind of easy on the eyes as well, but still, she did such a good job, and it's definitely the best revival they had on that, because compared to Double Dare 2000, which wasn't the best revival, I think, but this one is. It was definitely a lot better, and Yeah, it's too bad it's coming to an end in December. But I think when Mark Summers looks back on the on just the legacy of that show and the impact it had on people, I think he's got to be really, really happy. And he's definitely enjoying the tour. I mean, even though it's a lot of time he's got to put into that, you know, a lot of energy, it's he loves it. Him and Robin Russo, the original assistant. Yeah, that's what a show. What a night. What a band, I guess. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I actually have a book that Mark Summers is in. It's called Slimed, which is actually the perfect segue to lead into my next thing I was going to talk about, which is that I'm going to try to get a guest on in the next week or two, and he's written a book of the book I have that I just mentioned, Slimed, and I won't give away too much, but if you want to just keep your eyes out open on the Facebook page for details about that in the next week or two. I'll see if we can arrange to have another guest or two come on. So that's all I'll say for now. Well, if you want to listen to the interviews, get some extra content on the app, you're going to have to subscribe. That's what they're doing. I'm going to tease you, but I'm not giving you the whole thing, boys and girls. So, I definitely encourage people to subscribe to the app, though. It's always adding more content, more fun, more extra features there. But I'll just mention for now that I'll mention this if I do get this guy on the show. But they are releasing a fifth anniversary of the Slime book, which is all about Nickelodeon's oral history, which includes a little bit about Double Dare. We'd love to get the author of that on in the future, hopefully. So that's something to look forward to in the next week or so here on Sports and Stuff. And so with that, we'll take a quick break and come back and wrap up the show for this week right after this.
You've got to plug into EPRN. We've got the conversation, we've got the sports team, and our music and entertainment team brings podcasting to extremely new heights.
Listen in to EPRN.us. Press the app button on the site and download the EPRN app now. You'll be listening to shows in no time. Take us on the go with you. Our app is accessible on all mobile devices and tablets. Or you can just go to EPRN.us.
Your listening is worth your time.
Spend your time listening to an independently owned media network.
Tell a friend and listen in.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, EPRN.
Welcome back to Sports and Stuff here on EPRN, SoundCloud, and the app. Don't have too much more to mention here on the show this week. Just want to take the time to say thanks, everybody, for listening to the show, as always, for those that are my loyal listeners out there. And I mentioned this at the beginning of the show. I am working in collaboration with a company out in the Boston area to do some more marketing with for the show, as well as their product. It's called Stone Acres, and Kingside Partners is also works with these people as well. But Stone Acres works with the Hockey East program out in the Northeast where I live, where all the college hockey teams play. You got the Bean Pot, which is what the Boston college hockey teams play for every year. It's an NCAA, you know, men's hockey league for college level. And I'm going to be hopefully in the future working with some people on a co-marketing program. We're in the early stages, we hope to get the word out about EPRN and about Hockey East in the future. So we'll see where that leads us. I'm very lucky to have the opportunity to work with these people. So we'll see where that leads me, and we'll have some guests to look forward to in the upcoming weeks, like I said earlier, with this show. So be on the lookout. Hopefully we'll have some messages for you in the future, hopefully in the next week or two on our Facebook page or our EPRN website as far as some guests to look forward to. So on that note, we'll call it a show here this week. I want to thank you all for listening. For everybody involved with this one, I'm John Meisner. Keep on listening to the show. Subscribe to the app, and please do me a favor, my friends, spread the word. Tell everybody about Sports and Stuff and EPRN. Definitely the best place to get your best sports news and entertainment possible. So on that note, I'll end the show this week by saying, this is Alex Trebek, thanking you for watching 8,000 episodes of Jeopardy. And this is Mark Summer signing off for Double Dare, saying, have a good week, everybody. Tune in for my last week of shows here. Bye-bye. Don't fly me. and Rip Taylor says goodbye also. Goodbye, my wonderful people. throw some confetti for me. I would really lovely appreciate it. It's so wonderful.
All right. All right. Goodbye, everybody. Take care. Join us next week.